For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Looking for an opening and now hits the hole and he's through it. And it's another 9 yards. Fumble on the play though. And it's picked up by Buffalo at the 36-yard line. It's Buffalo football. Fakes the handoff, fakes the throw, comes back. Wide open in the end zone is Mac Hollins for a 2-yard touchdown reception. Here's the snap. Back to pass, blitz coming. Wide open Ray Davis, 45-50, 45-40. Still on his feet, he's gonna go. 20, 10, 5, touchdown Ray Davis. Fakes the handoff, rolls to his right, looking to pass, now gets hit as he throws, and it's caught in the end zone by Quinton Morris. His first catch of the season goes for a touchdown. So let's go there. Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is long enough, and it is good! Bobs away for Tyler Bass!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Victory Monday. Josh Schmidt threw that together. Tyler Bass, 61-yarder. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, and the Bills are 7-2. That's good stuff. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll take your calls. We'll talk about all of it.
That's a Bills-Dolphins game right there, right? Yes. They either blow them out or it is just Miami heartbreak.
Well, the thing about the Miami heartbreak especially is they had the lead, but in the second half, once the Bills got it to 20-13, and this game ends up 30-27, Miami never had the ball with a chance to take the lead.
Right. They were down seven.
Seven, tie.
After the Bills get the two-point conversion, they were always down seven.
Yep, down seven, tie. Down seven, tie. Game over. And not to start with this point, but I thought it in the moment. I thought they should go for two.
I thought they were going to go
for two. I thought they would, too.
I was surprised when they didn't.
There's not much time left. You know the Bills are going to get a kick to win this game. That's if I'm Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins, I'm thinking Josh Allen is going to get them in a position to win a kick for this game. If you're the Dolphins, you probably say 61, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And if I'm Miami, I would say, you know what I want to do? I got an offense that's getting chunks on them all day. If I pitch it out to Achan on the edge, he's getting into the end zone for 2 points because he feasted kind of all day on the edges. And what I want to do if I'm Miami is say their kicker is maybe lacking some confidence and lacking some consistency. If he's going to line up for a kick, he misses, we win. That's what I'd go for. I absolutely would have gone for two if I'm Miami. Otherwise, you know, you're hoping for overtime where, of course, you could still lose on the road. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, credit Miami. I thought they played well. Tua played really well. And Achan played well.
They finally committed to their run game for like a whole game against the Bills.
And it looked great for them. But
isn't that the funniest part of it? It's like Tua played really well. Their run game was great. They had 150 yards on the ground, 149. And they even got Tyreek Hill got a couple of big plays against his high against the Bills with the Dolphins. It was 80. Not like something crazy. They got all that to go their way, and they still lost the football game.
Because?
Because they couldn't stop the Bills in the second half.
Because Josh Allen's able to throw passes to Quentin Morris from his almost knees, from his shins.
Yeah, the second half, there were no punts in the second half by either team.
My kind of game.
The Dolphins fumbled that first drive, which they were moving the ball on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the drives preceding by the Bills and Dolphins went touchdown, field goal, touchdown, 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 field goal. That was the second half.
Yep.
You had one, two, three, four straight touchdown drives by both teams. And the Bills had three before they got the field goal at the end. Yeah. Another slow start, though.
Another slow start,
but they just second half, they have it dialed up. Yeah. They figured it out.
At the risk of sounding like I'm complaining. I'm not. Another slow start. I remember last year when an offensive coordinator got fired for slow starts. Hmm. They had multiple games where they'd score 3 points and a half, and here it is again.
Yeah.
How many games this year have they had a bad first half?
It feels like it's every
game. Are we up to five? Four or five?
When was their last, do it this way, when was their last great start to a game?
Jacksonville?
Without looking it up. But Jacksonville?
Is it Jacksonville?
Feels like Jacksonville. Yeah.
Maybe. They started fine against Seattle, right?
Yeah. They had a good opening drive against the Jets, but then did they do anything for like a quarter after that?
Yeah.
So it's not been.
It's slow starts. Slow start against Arizona in the opener.
Slow start against Tennessee.
Definite slow start against the Ravens. Slow start against the Texans.
Yeah.
The Jets, as you mentioned. The Titans was a slow start. They ended up winning 34-10. That game is 10-7 at halftime. They get a touchdown late in the second quarter. So, you know, make of it what you will, but it is a team. I listened to the post-game show, Show Up on the Bulldog. The idea that maybe they spend the first half kind of feeling teams out or whatever, just kind of not losing a game in the first half. Like, let's go out there and make sure we're slow is what I want to say. That both teams in the first half were willing to run, eat clock, and just kind of hang out for a little while. Yeah. And, you know, they got away with it.
To make a boxing reference, this is what Floyd Mayweather would do for 15 years. He would almost never throw punches in the first two rounds because he wanted to see what his opponent had.
Yeah.
Or what he was going to bring to him. So no offense, like in the first two drives. Is that can't be by design though? By the Bills,
no,
is it?
It's definitely not by design.
The scripted plays are supposed to be your best plays.
And what are the chances that this is all because the scripted plays maybe aren't there the right way? And Allen is also a little less likely to take over. We've seen
because early, he's better off script.
He's better off script, but
or he's great off script.
Early in games is when we've seen him, hey, he should run here, and then he throws it down the field and goes out of bounds and they punt. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, felt like you could have run for the first down on that play. Maybe not necessarily in this game against Miami, but a couple games earlier where they go three and out, and it's, well, Allen probably could have thrown it or could have run it there. So, yeah, the slow starts are definitely not by design. It's also worth mentioning they didn't have Amari Cooper, and I felt like I noticed it.
Yeah.
I feel like I noticed it again.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, Cooper has been on this team for 2 weeks and probably changed up some of the defensive looks that they get. So no Cooper meant you go to Coleman. There's another reason they had the slow start. It's because Coleman had a pass bounce off his chest. That's probably a touchdown drive otherwise. So that's part of it. And there are other receivers outside of Keon Coleman. I mean, Matt Collins had a nice play here, a big touchdown catch and a really nice play call from Joe Brady. But Curtis Samuel is literally non-existent.
Yeah, he doesn't exist.
He is non-existent. You see, did Jalen Virgil out-snap him?
I saw him out there a few times.
Virgil.
I saw Virgil out there a few times. I don't think I noticed Samuel on the field until the second half. I don't know if he maybe snuck out there and didn't see.
You see that one in the huddle, and I think, wow, he's there.
Yeah.
This is a guy that was supposed to be a player in their offense. He's lost even the gadget stuff.
I mean, we're at the halfway point, right?
Yeah.
We're through eight games. Yeah, okay, so we're not at the halfway point.
Well, there's no halfway. Eight and a half games.
So,
yes. So
halftime of the next game is the halfway point?
No, they're 7-2, so that's nine games. Halftime was halftime yesterday.
Thank you, yes. Okay, so they're more than halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have 100 yards yet.
On the season?
He doesn't have 100 yards.
Not in
100 yards receiving.
Not in a game.
No, rushing too. Include rushing. He doesn't have 100 yards.
In the season.
In the season, he does not have 100 yards.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I feel like they're okay with that. They might not be okay with that because of what they paid him. I think their offense is okay.
Their offense,
I don't think they need Curtis Samuel
to
be this massive difference maker because they traded for Amari Cooper.
Right. That's one of the reasons they had to trade for Cooper, though, is because Samuel's given them nothing.
Yeah.
So Coleman coming on and Cooper acquisition, these are both things that have kind of masked that your big offseason move at the free agent position for wide receiver is just a nothing. It's crazy.
Also, this is a good thing. Like yesterday, another massive play in the pass game to a running back.
Yeah.
That happens. Is that a trend at this point? Every other week Are they not getting a big play? How often are we looking at the box score and a running back is actually leading them in receiving because they broke a big one? Ty Johnson had that play on Jalen Ramsey earlier in the year. James Cook had the touchdown against Miami. Ray Davis has had a couple, right? He had the one against... What game was that? Where he actually snuck behind the defense and like it was actually like a bomb down the field?
The Jets.
He had a big play where he was running down the field. This game is more of a dump off that he takes for 63 yards. Are the Bills not getting big plays in the pass game from the running backs like almost every week?
Yeah.
Like that's a testament to their running backs also.
It is. And
that's Davis making three guys miss, two guys miss at least on his way to the end zone.
And James Cook, he had a drop in this game. But going into this game, I had a stat I had not yet gotten yet. Do you know, we love talking about the efficiency of passing the ball to Shakir.
Yeah.
James Cook, going into the game, I think the Bills were, how many catches did he have on the season right now? So even after this game where he was 5 of 6 on targets, Cook has 19 catches on 22 targets. So it was, even though you feel like, well, there's the occasional drop in there, mm-hmm. the efficiency is still incredible, as it should be for most running backs. But before that game, he was 16 catches on 19 targets. You know, like, pretty good.
Yeah.
He had 6 targets in this game. Oh, sorry, I did the math there. He was 14 catches on 16 targets going into this game.
Okay.
5 for 6 for 25 yards. You know, he gets the ball in the passing game, and it's a good play. So I like Cook just fine. They ran it. They committed to running. They did what they did. They had trouble stopping the run. I don't think there's any doubt about that, right?
They definitely did.
A-chan and Mostert, whenever they wanted to, could rip off 6 and 7 yards. And that's what kept Miami on schedule. 803-0550, you get your calls in. Also on Tyler Bass. Great story for him. The Bills, locker room, they give him the game ball. He's emotional. The one thing about it, if I may, we're 14 minutes in, so I'm not Debbie Downing this. I feel like I want to just give a little context to what happened for Tyler Bass, right? A 61-yarder to win a game is a career highlight moment for him. Career-long, franchise record 61-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's great for his confidence because that's actually not the kick the Bills need for him to keep his job.
No,
they need him to make the extra point. Yeah. They need him to make the 44-yarder. He's missed a lot of kicks that are ones you'd expect to make. A 61-yarder, if he had missed that, I don't know. Maybe they're mad about it. Maybe they try somebody else because he had missed an extra point earlier in the game. But a 61-yarder is not one you actually need him to make. It's one you hope he makes.
It's probably... Yesterday, conditions were perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right? Like, no weather. It was beautiful out. There was no wind whatsoever. They don't attempt that kick in January.
That's right. That's probably right. They don't attempt the kick in January.
Maybe they do if there's like one. Well, actually, no. Let's use the exact same game situation. If there's 10 seconds on the clock and they are at fourth down and whatever, and they're tied, 61-yard field goal, they're punting that football in January, right? They're not 61 yards in bad weather or just different conditions where you miss it and now, okay, do they have time to run a quick pass to the outside or even just a quick play up the middle, call timeout, and now they get a 60-yarder?
I think I'm calling a Hail Mary with 10 seconds left. I'm not kicking
okay.
it.
Okay. But they're not kicking it.
Josh, drop back, count to 5, throw it.
I think, though, he absolutely, I mean, I think this might be obvious, he eliminated any chance they're trading for a kicker on Tuesday. And I think if he had missed that, maybe the door would still be open a little bit.
That might be right.
There's no way, that they are moving on from him now. After he kicks the franchise record field goal.
To win.
To beat a division rival. At the buzzer, and then how emotional it was, all the team rallying around him after the game on the field, let alone if you saw the video of him in the locker room where he's like breaking down into tears and like the whole team around him. They're not moving on from that guy 48 hours after those moments.
Right. And we like our golf analogies. To me, what that was a huge putt to make the cut. Like, you didn't win. You did, I know. You won the game. But Bass earned the right through, you know, making big kicks these last couple weeks. He's been really good the last couple weeks. And a career long for him, that's an awesome moment. But right, what they need is more consistency. You'd love to have a guy that can consistently hit from 60. They almost never ask him to do it. How many times has he attempted from 60 before? You know,
I don't know if he ever has he ever with the Bills.
I don't think so.
Also, do we have a that was good for on the broadcast or something? Because it looked like it was going to be good from like 68.
Yeah,
looked like he cleared it pretty easily.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We'll get to some calls here as it's Buffalo Bills football Monday. He attempted this year a 50-yarder against Baltimore and did hit that. So he's now 2-for-2 on the season from 50-plus. In his career, from 50-plus, he's 13 of 20. Like, that's not a very good number. Kickers are hitting a lot from that distance. It's great for him. I'm very happy for him. And I don't know if we'll field too many calls on Bass today, but he's been a topic. From 40 to 49 this year, he's 2-for-5. That's what they need. Thanks for the 61-yarder. We need you to be 5-for-5 from 40 to 49. That's what keeps your job safe. So, good for Bass. A great day at the stadium. It was fun. The crowd was into it. It was a beautiful day. And the Bills are 7-2. And next play, Indianapolis, who look like they are in a world of hurt after they got beat by Minnesota. Joe Flacco did not look good at all. Anthony Richardson has been benched. So, it's Indianapolis this week. And then, of course, it's you-know-who coming to town. We'll get calls in on Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. Anthony in New York City leads us off. Anthony, good morning.
Guys, we were saying before, any win, and I don't think we don't let him attempt that kick.
Probably.
Yeah.
Guys, another thing. You know, we missed Matt Milano. Miami just able to run the ball down our throats yesterday. This is where we missed Matt Milano.
Probably. It's where they miss a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
it's where they miss a lot. They miss some of their pieces they used to have on the defensive line.
Listen,
they miss.
I think they're a team that if they don't, this is where the idea that they plan on starting slow is odd to me, because I feel like their blueprint as a defense is somewhat reliant on their offense to be ahead so that you can't run the ball on them.
Yeah, you don't want to run it.
Like, because they want you to pass it on them. Right, we are not coming out of our nickel. We are not getting bigger. We are going to sit here and we're going to bet you're not going to run the ball on us all day. You're not going to stay committed to it. You're going to have a mistake. It's kind of what they've done maybe the whole time is, yeah, we're kind of going to give you the run game.
Yeah.
Because we're going to take away the big passes. But, you know, is Matt Milano single-handedly changed that? He would probably help if he's playing at his top peak level. But that to me, you know, that's just kind of what they are yesterday. If they start slow, you're allowing a team like Miami to commit to the run game for four quarters.
Someone wrote to me that Miami is kind of like Baltimore Jr. in a way, that they want to run it, and sure, they can pass it, and people talk about their passing game, but what they want to do with their heart is run it. And this is part of the point about how you'll take that. Achan, if you were walking out of the game, right? You're not someone that stayed up on the box score. You just watch the game, boom, kick goes through, you walk out, and your friend turns to you and say, what did Achan have today? What would you have guessed? Like 95 yards?
It felt like he was, 100.
115, it's 63 on 12 carries. But Mostert had 56 on 10 carries. So the two of them combined, that's 22 carries.
Didn't Jalen Wright get in there a little bit too?
Jalen Wright had 6 for 18.
Okay, that wasn't great.
One other way that Achan did it, though, was 8 for 58 receiving. So Achan gets 20 touches and gets about 120 yards in the game. And that's where multiple times you'd see the Bills drop back and have things covered, and Tua would find Achan out in the flat, and he'd pick up 9. So go 3 yards, which is something the Bills have been good at with James Cook. So it's kind of the way that it works. It's almost like watching this Bills team, especially in the second half. What we were watching was not quite prevent defense, but all right, they're going to get their plays. They're moving it down our field. Wait till they get to the 20. Can we stop them in the red zone? Because the red zone, of course, it becomes more difficult. Miami as a red zone team has struggled this season, and the Dolphins were able to punch it in a bunch. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough figuring out how much of what the Dolphins did on the ground is acceptable to the Bills. I mean, McDermott could, of course, say, like, we got to get things better. And I'm sure the All-22 will show this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not a great game for, Ed Oliver and the defensive line. But again, it wasn't like they were running right up the middle. A lot of it was to the edge, where Miami has tons of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have Christian Benford out there. You have Kyer Elam instead.
Mm-hmm.
Does that factor in? Taron Johnson, I know, is super important in that role. He was banged up a little bit, but came back. So it's not unconcerning, but at the same time, it's what I always say to you, Joe, which is if I'm going to get beat in one element of the game, the run or the pass, I want it to be the run because it yields less. You had a great day running the ball. What'd you get? 149. That was Miami. Great day running the ball, 149. What's a great day throwing the ball? 350.
All right.
You know, like, it just yields less. Mark in Coconut Creek is next up on Victory Monday. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Great win. We'll take it against the Dolphins always. But the only time I really don't listen to you guys is after a Dolphins loss. I like to listen to the telecast down here. And they're distraught right now. They're on McDaniels a little bit. He's, I think, 22-20 over the 3 years. And, you know, why did he call a timeout? But needless to say, you know, I've been on Matt Collins, I'll say his name correctly now, for a while. And, you know, he showed some energy on that one series. He got a PI, then a defensive holding on and makes a catch. He got a lot of energy. So, but, you know, finally, though, the one thing is, you know, at the end of each half, we didn't have any timeouts, and I just feel like that last play that Josh threw to, I think, Kincaid or Knox, where he, like, dove for it, and if he would have caught it, you know, there's a chance. Oh, yeah, he would have rolled out of bounds, but there's a chance that he could have got, you know, downed as well. But that's about it. Yeah, it's a good win, and, you know, just keep them coming. So,
yeah,
great show, fellas.
Thanks, Mark. I thought Allen was not exactly the sharpest he's been. He missed a lot of throws low.
He did. He missed. There was a couple at the end of the half that he mentioned. The one to Shakir and then to Kincaid.
Yeah, two
I think,
in a row.
Before he threw it away on third down.
Yeah.
That was after the phantom hold, I guess, after he ran one into the end zone. He also did that on the last drive.
Yeah.
He
missed low a lot.
If he hits Kincaid in stride, like if that ball is 4 feet higher in the air, Kincaid, I think, grabs that ball and runs out of bounds at like the 10. And then suddenly it's a 35-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So, yeah, he missed a couple. He missed a couple like
he
that
did,
yesterday.
He did take a pretty big hit at one point. Stayed on the ground.
Was that I saw on Twitter that he was checking his wrist.
Yes.
I didn't see that in the stadium.
There's one play where he's down on the ground. He gets up in kind of like a catcher's squat, and he's just kind of gathering himself, it looked like, for a moment, maybe holding his wrist or holding his hand. So we'll see if anything pops up today. But wasn't his sharpest game. Of course, we saw elements of greatness. He ran for a big third down.
The touchdown
to Quentin Morris is just vintage
just
Allen.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah. The throw to Hollins on his is great. Like,
that's,
you know,
one where if you're a Dolphins fan, it's just so demoral. Like, what are we supposed to... We have him. He just flipped the ball, and it's wobbling, and then there's... Who's this guy? The fifth-string tight end catches it?
That's Mahomes stuff, right? Like, that's everybody else watching Mahomes. That's what we see from Allen. He's every bit as good and does that all the time. 803-0550. Thanks, Mark, for the phone call. 1-888-550-2550. Up against the break, we'll get back to your calls when we return. It's Buffalo Bills Victory Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Tyler Bass, the hero, a 61-yarder, a franchise record to beat the Dolphins. Their season is in, well, a bad spot, and the Bills sit at 7-2. Jeremy and Joe, Victory Monday. You can join us on the phones here on WGR.
Bobbled by Tua, and the pass rush is there in a hurry. Greg Rousseau wrapped him up immediately. Tua barely had the football, and Rousseau was all over him.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.